Good morning, church. Let's go ahead and open up to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Today we're going to talk about heaven. And I wanted us to begin in John's gospel at the beginning, seeing and recognizing the greatest gift from heaven. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through Him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Church, we come together today as children of God. We come together having a shared bloodline, a shared family tree that God has made us a part of. And just like John, you and I are messengers pointing to the light. We're not the light. Jesus Christ is the light. And we have received from God's holy word that the darkness will not overcome the light. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we have gathered together in Your holy name to give You what we have. And Father, this morning, in the body, we have joy. We have pain. We have sorrow and suffering. But we are reminded together in the face of one another, in the truth of Jesus Christ, in the fact that we can see by the light that You have provided. We know, Lord, that You are greater than all things, that You are above all things, that You hold all things together. And today, as we worship Your name, I pray, Lord, that our gift to You will be the greatest thing that we give, will be the most important thing in our hearts. Father, we know that our problems or our issues are not all taken care of as fast as we would like. That we still have things going on. We still have things that we're struggling through. But I pray today, Lord, that our voices will carry to You the fact that we know that You are greater than our problems. I pray, Father, that our worship to You today will let You know what we believe, that this world is still in your hands. We know not everyone sees the light. We know that there are many still trapped in the darkness. I pray that we will not fear. I pray that we will be strong and courageous, that we will trust you in all things, that we will magnify your name so that others may see the light. Blessed be your name. We pray through Jesus. Amen.
There is a habitation built by the living God for all of every nation who seek that grand abode. O Zion, Zion, I long thy gates to see. O Zion, Zion, when shall I dwell in thee? A city with foundations, firm as the eternal throne, no wars or desolations shall ever move a stone. O Zion, Zion, I long thy gates to see. O Zion, Zion, when shall I dwell in thee? No night is there, no sorrow, no death and no decay, no yesterday, no morrow, but one eternal day. O Zion, Zion, I long thy gates to see. O Zion, Zion, when shall I dwell in thee? Within its pearly portals, angelic armies sing, with glorified immortals, the praises of its King. O Zion, Zion, I long thy gates to see. O Zion, Zion, when shall I dwell in thee? When the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall arise, and the splendors immortal shall envelop the skies, when the angel of death shall no longer destroy, and the dead shall awaken in the morning of joy, in the morning of joy, in the morning of joy, we'll be gathered to glory in the morning of joy, in the morning of joy, in the morning of joy, we'll be gathered to glory in the morning of joy. When the King shall appear in his beauty on high, and shall summon his children to the courts of the sky, shall the cause of the Lord have been all your employ, that your soul may be spotless in the morning of joy, in the morning of joy, in the morning of joy, we'll be gathered to glory in the morning of joy, in the morning of joy, in the morning of joy, we'll be gathered to glory in the morning of joy. Oh, the bliss of that morn when our loved ones we meet, with the songs of the ransomed we each other shall greet, singing praise to the Lamb, through eternity's years, with the past all forgotten, with its sorrow and tears. In the morning of joy, in the morning of joy, we'll be gathered to glory. In the morning of joy, in the morning of joy, in the morning of joy, we'll be gathered to glory. In the morning of joy.
Our scripture reading today will be out of Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 25. Romans 8, 18 through 25. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation awaits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he has already seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I come before you, and I thank you for this day and this time that we have. Lord, I thank you that we have that hope in you, that we will one day be reunited with you, Lord, and that as we live in this world and that as our body fails us and as we're tempted with different things of the flesh, I thank you that we have that hope that we will one day be set free from that we will no longer be a slave to this body, but that we will be reunited with you, Lord. I pray that we would just persevere and just endure until that day. It's in your name I pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.
O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be. O light that followest all my way, I yield my flickering torch to thee. My heart restores its borrowed way, that in thy sunshine glow its day may brighter, fairer be. O joy that seekest me through pain, I cannot close my heart to thee. I trace the rainbow through the mountain and feel the promise not vain, that morn shall tearless be. O cross that liftest up my head, I dare not ask to hide from thee. I lay in dust life's glory dread, and from the ground their bosoms red, life that shall endless be. I worship you, Almighty God, there is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace, that is what I want to do. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden, he prayed not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. In pity, angels beheld him and came from the world of light to comfort in the sorrows he bore for my soul that night. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransom and glory his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Please be seated.
Somebody set a booby trap. A few days ago, we were coming home from school, or I was taking Declan home from school. I'm out of school, by the way. And she had gotten gotten a library book, picked one about Easter. Kind of took me by surprise that there was one of those in a public school library, but I was happy about it. She was flipping through it, and I can hear from the back seat, and there's just a page where it has, a cartoonish depiction of Jesus holding the cross, and there's a guy kind of yelling at him, and she just asked a simple question. She said, "Why would they do that?" thought, well, I'm driving. We'll talk about it when we get home. That's deep. That's heavy. Why would they do that? From the child's mind. And I thought, well, you know, I did what I first came to mind. I Googled it. you know, as we do. And there was, that's a rabbit hole. Something that I'd never given thought to, just had always heard. Why would they do that? And I'd like you guys to give thought to that this morning too. And it just opened up more questions in my mind. Not only why would they do that, the ones who tortured and killed him, why would we have done that? Because we likely would have been right there with them back in the day. Then it goes on to another playoff why. Why would he do that? Why did he agree to have that done to him? Why did he agree to take that for us, knowing that we would be ungrateful, turning our backs on him, just completely distancing ourselves from what that meant for us? And that was a few thoughts I had this morning. And the best answer as to why, you guys all know John 3:16, but if you go to John 3:17, let me find it here 1 second. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That was the simplest, quickest Google answer I found on why would he do that? Why did he take it? There's a lot of power in that thought. I don't have all the answers for it, but I'm sure glad he did. Let's go to our Father as we take communion. Lord, we come before you now as we prepare to take this bread that represents the body that was hung on the cross, the sacrifice that was made to give us a hope of life after life here on earth, an eternal life. We may not fathom the why, the many whys, but let us be mindful of that and help us to understand that more and more every day as we contemplate what that sacrifice means, what it meant back then, what it means now, and what it will mean into eternity. We ask that we clear our minds and take of this bread in a manner that's pleasing to you. We ask these things through your Son. Amen. Lord, as we come now and we take this cup, it symbolizes the blood that was spilled from the body of your Son. Let us be mindful of the why that that needed to happen, the why that that was part of your plan. Let's take this cup with the right mindset, going back to the cross, with acknowledgement of that that is our only hope and our only way off this earth into eternal life. We thank you for that sacrifice and for loving us to the extent that you would do such a thing. We ask that in your Son's name. Amen. Lord, as we come now for the giving part of the Lord's Supper, we ask that you make us aware and make us be mindful of the how good we've got it here in this country and how comfortable of a life you've provided for us here. Let us give with cheerful hearts. Let the money given go to spread your word. Let it be used justly and with good intentions. Help us to give with the cheerful hearts and the confidence that it will help bring other brothers and sisters to Christ. We ask this through your Son. Amen. On the first Sunday, we give a special contribution to go specifically to our mission that we support, and we'll pray for that. God, we thank you for the brothers and sisters in Christ who hear the calling and accept the calling to go into foreign lands to spread your word, to give up the comfortable lifestyle that we've been spoiled with here in this country, and more times than not, to put their lives on the line to spread your word and spread your good news and give folks that probably never heard it, never would have heard it, a chance at eternal life. We ask that you keep them safe. Be with us as we support them from stateside. Let us do that with cheerful hearts as well. We ask these things through your Son's name. Amen.
Levetterly.
All right, this next song is one I actually this one I grew up with, but it's not in our faith and praise book. But I actually learned this one at a not even a church camp, just a regular summer camp. But it stuck with me. So let's stand together and sing this.
A pilgrim was I and a wandering, in the cold of sin I did roam. When Jesus the kind shepherd found me, and now I am on my way home. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He restoreth my soul when I'm weary. He giveth me strength day by day. He leads me beside the still waters. He guards me each step of the way. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When I walk through the dark, lonesome valley, my Savior will walk with me there, and safely His great hand will lead me to the mansions He's gone to prepare. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and I will feast at the table spread for me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. Please be seated.
Chester, I hate to break the narrative you've built up in your mind, but your parents sent you to church camp. That was not sports camp. That was church camp. That was awesome. Oh, I'm glad you're here today. I am glad that you are here. It's October. I get to wear orange. What leaves there are will change, so you want to keep your eyes open for our week of fall. It's coming up. Not sure which week we'll get it, but it's coming. It is coming. Let's go to our Father in prayer. We'll get in the Word. Heavenly Father, thank you again for bringing us together. We are so encouraged by your presence here with us today, by the presence of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Father, you allow us to share love for one another. You allow us to share our voices with you and one another. You allow us to come to you in prayer and find strength and encouragement. You forgive us of our sins and you invite us into the table of our Lord Jesus Christ to partake of his body, to take once again the cup of his new covenant. You remind us that our sins are forgiven and you fill us with your Holy Spirit. Father, you have opened up heaven and you have blessed us with every spiritual gift and blessing that you have to offer. Thank you. Blessed be your name. We pray through Jesus. Amen. Go ahead and open your Bible to Revelation 21. Revelation 21. As I was studying this week, that song has carried me this week. I just want to be where you are. I just want to be in your presence. And that has really carried me through, and it's really kind of guided me through this study in thinking about heaven. I want you to think about all the greatest things that you've experienced in life. I just want you to allow yourself to wander memory lane. The arrival of your children. Your best birthday. Surprise snow day. The boss goes out of town unexpectedly. I want you to think about all the good days that you have had. And I want you just to imagine putting them all together. There's every good thing that's ever happened to you. Just put it all together. I want you to think about all the joy that you have been blessed to experience in life. Think about how immense and how great it is. All the good that God has done, that you have got to witness, be a part of, or even just hear about Him working in someone else's life. And none of that will compare to the glory to be revealed to us in the presence of our Lord. It's hard to put into words. It's hard to describe something so wonderful and amazing. I mean, you and I, we can try, and we can relate our earthly experience. We can relate our joys. But the Bible ends with this most amazing picture, and I wanted us to see it today. Revelation chapter 21. Let's start in verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." And skip over to chapter 22, verse 1. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. You know, it's interesting. It's interesting that people usually point to bad things happening in this world as evidence that there must not be God. People point to their own experiences and their own suffering and their own horrors, and they look at that and they say, "Well, see, life is so bad, there's no way God can exist. There's no way that anything bigger and good can be, because my experience has been bad." And yet Jesus tells us that God will dwell with us, that there will be no death, no tears, no pain, and no suffering. And yet if it weren't for life and all that we've had to endure and all that we've gone through, we wouldn't appreciate a life without death, without tears, without suffering. You ever notice you didn't realize what a good day yesterday was until today falls apart? We don't know how good we have it until chaos comes in. We don't appreciate good days, do we? No. We don't appreciate normal. We don't appreciate easy. We don't appreciate, you know, just right there, just everything just working as it should until things fall apart. And then when things fall apart, when chaos enters into our lives, then what's our own desire? Lord, just get me back to normal. Just get me back to quiet, to baseline. I don't even need a birthday party. I don't even need wonderful and exciting. Just bring me back up to where I was before. God has an eternal heritage for us. Church, and this morning I want to make sure that you and I do not forget what we are living for. I want to make sure that you and I always remember every single day that we are made for so much more than what we see around us. That God has an inheritance for you, kept safely in heaven. You see, all the corruption and evil and suffering and death in this world is not evidence that God does not exist. It is evidence that God's good promises cannot exist here and now. And so we wait. We wait until in His good time, the Father sends the Son to bring redemption to us and to all of creation. And we praise God that God has seen fit not to give us all those promises while evil is still free to run around. That's a blessing. That is a blessing that we don't have everything that God has in store for us here and now. Because everything that this world touches tends to ruin. That's what sin does. That's what sin does. I mean, it's the story of humanity. God made everything perfect. He gave it to Adam and Eve, and they sinned. And they sinned. And God said, "You can't be here anymore. You cannot be in the presence of perfect because you're no longer without sin." And then, as we read, just as we read in John chapter 1 this morning, we find that God, in His mercy, sees fit to make a way for you and I to come back to perfect. For you and I to get there once again, to be in His presence. And so Jesus comes to earth. He enters into what we have caused to be a pretty sinful place. And Jesus enters in. He comes into the pain and suffering where we are. He enters into the darkness, and He did not fade. He did not shift. He did not change. He shone brightly. And the darkness of the world couldn't stand it. Why? Why did they do that to Him? Church, the same reason that they do it to His followers. The same reason that when you and I step out of the norms of this world into faith and hope and love and mercy, that the darkness surrounding us just strikes back. An eternal war that you and I are in, light and dark. Jesus enters as light, and we're shocked that darkness treats Him poorly. Jesus brings truth, and we're shocked that people would rather believe the lie. And we try to walk in His light, and we're shocked when the world responds negatively. I think that's why the apostles said, "You know what? I will exalt in my suffering for the sake of Christ. Because I know that if I share in His suffering now, that I will share in His glory in the future." It's worth it. It's worth it. Church, no matter how good we have it here, being in the presence of God is worth it. Paul, the Apostle Paul, points out in Romans chapter 8 that Matt read for us this morning. The Apostle Paul points out that the future glory waiting for us outweighs any suffering. See, it's hard enough for us to imagine heaven being better than the best we've experienced. I mean, how do you explain and try to convince someone? Okay, you remember that birthday? You remember that gift? You remember that perfect day? You remember the birth of your child? You remember that awesome? It eclipses all of that. That's hard to convince anyone of. And then the Apostle Paul comes in Romans chapter 8 and he says, all bad things, every negative and every horrible thing is not worth comparing, even bringing up in light of the glory that God has in store for us. Now, if you want to know the true power of this part of his letter to the church, here's what you understand. That on our worst day, that during our greatest suffering, and that will be easy to bring to mind, just think of your pain, think of your loss, think of your hurt. Think of your rejection. Think of your betrayal. Think of any of it. Think of any of it. And all of it put together is not worth mentioning with the same voice that God has given each and every one of us to sing his glorious praises. I want you to imagine a week, a normal week. Last week, what did your audience hear? Did they hear how great God was? Or did they hear how hard your life was? What did your audience hear last week? Because we all have an audience. I mean, we all have an audience. They live under our roof. There are friends on Facebook. There are coworkers. There are students. There are teachers. We all have an audience. What did they hear from your voice last week? Did they hear how difficult life was? Did they hear how much pain and suffering you were going through? Or did they hear about how awesome God is? Hey, church. Here's the other amazing thing. No one else is going to be convinced that God is awesome if you and I are not convinced. You're not going to convince anyone to follow Jesus if following Jesus is not a beautiful thing. And isn't that what Jesus did? Brooks read for us in John 3:17. The Son of Man did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. It's good news. It's good news. Look, I don't have to share with you bad news, and that's the amazing thing about current events. Bad news is easy, right? Yeah, bad news is easy. Look, church, our job's half done. Our job's half done. This world stinks. Even with all the good stuff, even with the stuff that I'm just thankful for each and every day, there is bad stuff going on all around us. Do you really want to allow your friends and your neighbors and your family members and your loved ones to actually live their life and face their Creator with the false belief in their mind that this is all there is? That this is it. That this is it. Look, the fact that we even stand up and say there is a Creator, that we are made, that we are not an accident, that is the most radical thing that anyone can even believe these days. Because the enemy, again, the enemy just wants us to just cower and fall into the trap of, it's just random. It doesn't matter. My life's meaningless. Your life is meaningless. You're going to work and you're going to toil and you're going to gain a few things, but then you're going to die and it's not going to matter anyway. The present suffering of this world are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And church, as the creation waits, you and I have been given the first fruits of what is being made new. See, when Jesus declared at the end of Revelation, he says, look, I have made all things new, and it starts with you. We cannot hear the good news of Jesus and go back to work tomorrow as though all things were old. We cannot go with our family to lunch this afternoon as though things were just normal. Jesus Christ has declared all things are new, and I started with you. He has given you and I the first fruits of eternity. He's filled us with His Holy Spirit. He has given us a part of eternity. That's right here. It's right here. It's why none of us walk alone. It's why none of us live alone. That's why none of us face the day alone. So we have, he says, Paul says in 8:23, we have the first fruits of the Spirit, and we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Oh, we are still looking forward to that day where it no longer hurts. We are still looking forward to that day when, that's a new crack. Every third step. We are still waiting for that day when everything is just perfect. We are looking forward to that day. But guess what? Because of Jesus Christ, right here, perfect. Forgiven. Beloved. Children of God. And he just says, I need you to live it by faith before I give it to you. That's what your existence is called to be. Trust God when you can't see it. We read this morning, a few chapters back, we read it in the car coming. I asked Sonny, I said, find this for me. I need to hear this voice. In Romans chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says about Abraham, Abraham did not waver in his doubt when God came to him and said, hey, I'm going to make you the father of many peoples. And Abraham didn't look at his old age. He didn't look at the old age of his wife and go, yeah, I don't know how that's going to happen. Instead, what does it say? It says he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. You ever struggled with your faith? You ever had those weak days, those weak moments, those weak years? I know what you weren't doing. You weren't giving glory to God. Because when we give glory to God, our faith grows strong. When we give glory to God, our faith increases. We trust Him all the more. When we focus on what He has not done for us, when we focus on what we think we deserve that is without, that is outside of our reach, our faith does not grow. Our faith lessens, starts to die. When we focus on God's glory, when we focus on the hope of His promises, then our faith increases. We trust Him more each and every day. When I set my heart fully on the finish line, then I have the strength to run the race. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. 9:19, Paul writes, for though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not myself being under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessing. Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Run to win, because the finish line is worth it. So you keep running. When you get tired, you remember the finish line. When your legs are weak, you remember the finish line. When your heart is broken, you remember the finish line. Because when you and I keep running, when you and I remember what is our inheritance, when you and I remember what God has already given us, then we will actually open our eyes to the needs and brokenness of the world around us. Church, we have got to know, we've got to say it out loud, that all that's going on around us in the world today is not about our physical, mental, spiritual safety or destruction. It's about our faith. It's about our faith. While you are running your race, are you looking around for others? Now, if I'm focusing on the hurdles, the size of the hurdles, I don't have any time to, or any energy to reach back and pull somebody else up, do I? No, it's taking all I've got just to get through the day. It's taking all the faith that I have just to get myself to the end of the day, not having stumbled in sin or given in to temptation or given up. Or just throwing my hands up in despair. It took all my energy. It took everything I have just to get through today. I have no time, energy, or space, heart, or love for anyone else to hear the gospel. I'm too busy enjoying all the suffering of the gospel. Wrong. That is not the way of Christ. That is not the way of Christ. The way of Christ is He has saved me from my sins. The way of Christ is that my burden is light because He is doing all the heavy lifting. The way of Christ is He has saved me and taken care of me so that I might focus on those around me. And the Apostle Paul says, I am running so as to reach others, because it is a blessing to share when other people come out of darkness into light. It is a blessing to be able to share when more souls are saved. It is a blessing to be able to see one person become a believer in Jesus, to become a Christian, and to see their entire family changed, to see the entire eternal trajectory of their family tree go in a completely new direction. That is a blessing. That is a joy that you and I must recapture. That's a part of our race, because if you and I don't care about those who are floundering around us, if you and I, if honestly, if it is just taking everything we have just to get ourselves through the day, we are not trusting in God. God has given you so much more than what you need to get through your day. The enemy says, look at yourself, focus on yourself, look in the mirror, feel sorry for yourself, you. And God says, I'm taking care of you. Go shine for them. Do we believe Him or not? Do we trust Him or not? How are we going to run that race? Let's go over a few chapters. It's chapter 15. In chapter 15, verse 50, Paul continues and he says, I tell you this, brothers and sisters, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. I'm going to tell you a mystery, okay? We shall not all sleep. Not all of us are going to sleep. And that means that there are going to be some people who are alive when Jesus comes back. But we shall all be changed. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable. And we shall be changed. The dead will be raised imperishable. That is, those who have passed before us are going to come back imperishable. And those of us that are left, those of us that are still alive, when it opens up and Jesus appears, will be changed just like that. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable. And this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. All right, death, where's your victory? Death, where's your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What are you thankful for today? I am thankful to God that He has given us the victory over death through our Lord Jesus Christ. What if you went to work tomorrow and, I don't know, crazy thought, you just said to one person tomorrow, hey, you know what I'm thankful for? You know what I'm thankful for today? What are you thankful for today? Well, let me tell you what I'm thankful for today. I mean, you don't have to be huckster like I'm being right now. I mean, I guess you could be more subtle. Today, I am thankful that God has given me victory over death in my Lord Jesus Christ. What? That's what I'm thankful for today. And then I dare you, just let it hang. You put that out there. And then just let it hang. Hey, I promise it's going to be fun either way. It will not be boring. How many of you just go to work, come home and go, oh, it's too hard or it's too boring? So boring. Hey, kids, any of you ever had a boring day at school? Oh, it's so boring. I promise you, you go to school tomorrow and you say, hey, want to know what I'm thankful for? And you tell them the truth, your day will not be boring. Adults, you want your work not to be boring tomorrow? Tell somebody, tell one person. Tell one person what you're thankful for. Thanks be to God for our victory over death in our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory. Victory. And I didn't even finish. Now that we heard the good news in verse 57, what do we do with it? What do we do with it? Well, he tells us in verse 58, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. A cup of cold water to someone who is thirsty. Mercy and forgiveness to your enemies. Well, they didn't appreciate it. Your work in the Lord is not in vain. Well, they didn't say thank you. Your work in the Lord is not in vain. Well, they didn't do anything nice back to me. Your work in the Lord is not in vain. Church, you and I are working for a greater master. You and I are running a higher race. Quit looking for earthly thanks. In fact, I'm pretty sure Jesus said, if earthly thanks is all you want, it's all you're going to get. In fact, this hand shouldn't even gossip to this hand about the good that this hand is doing. Because when this hand says, hey, look what we did today, you know what he does when he tells this hand? They can't help but... And if you get that applause here on earth, guess what? That's all you get. Church, you and I are not living for earthly applause. You and I are not living for earthly riches. You and I are not living for any reward that this earth has to offer. Because look around. It doesn't have much to offer. You and I are living for the wreath, the finish line, the trophy. It's not a participation trophy. God doesn't hand those out. You don't have to be in first place, but you got to finish. You got to finish. So, is heaven greater than the greatest thing that you and I have ever experienced here in this life? Absolutely. Is the glory of heaven more powerful than the worst day that we've ever had in our existence? Absolutely. Is the idea of being with God for all eternity greater than anything else than we can possibly imagine? Absolutely. And is the good news that God has given us worthy of sharing with others around us? Absolutely. Let's be Christians this week. Let's do that. Let's be Christians this week. Let's live it. Let's enjoy it. And let's share it. And maybe, just maybe, when you're that crazy person that's not walking around with your shoulders slumped and your head down low, and you're just looking up and you're just smiling and you're just filled with love and joy and you are bringing light to the darkness all around you, someone might step in that light and go, what is this? What is this? Say, well, can I tell you something today? Today, I'm thankful. I'm thankful to God because He has given me the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. I dare you. You guys like a good dare? Remember at that age when you did like a good dare? Cracks me up. Seventh graders try to dare me to do things. It always makes me laugh. I got one. He's a hilarious kid. And anytime we talk about something funny, he just says, Mr. Park, I dare you. And I tell him, I said, look, if you actually think that a grown man is affected by a 12-year-old's dare, buckle up. Let's go. I'm not scared. Let's not be scared. Let's not be scared. The finish line is worth it. The finish line is worth it. So let's run the race. Let's run the race and remember to pick up people around us. Pick up people around us. Why? Because we get to share in their blessings. We get to share in their blessings. This morning, if you're not a Christian, we invite you to come to the light. And this morning, if you are a Christian, we invite you to come to the light. Church, we can't wear His name and not walk His walk. We don't get to do that. We don't get to do that. We need to encourage each other as long as we have today. We got to encourage each other. We got to be there for each other. You ever tried to just go one day shining the light of Jesus? It's hard, isn't it? It is. It's hard. Why is it hard? It's pretty lonely. It's pretty lonely. We need each other. We need each other to be faithful to God because there's not many doing it. It's rare. It's rare. So we got to be there for each other. So let's do that. Let's do that. They need to know how good it is. Well, they just need to know how good you have it. So let's live it and let's tell them. Simple enough, right? Live it and tell them. All right. Let's stand together and sing.
Awesome power, boundless grace, none can fathom all your ways. Truth and love are found in your heart alone, righteousness around your throne. Holy, holy, holy Lord Most High. Holy, holy, holy Lord Most High. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Early in the morning our song shall rise to full and mighty God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the crystal sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, who was and art and evermore shall be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful men thy glory may not see, thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love and purity. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
Please be seated.
Still morning. Good morning, brothers and sisters. Glad to see you here. I have a few closing announcements to make. Remember the Christmas boxes. Talk to Charlie if you need any information on that. Remember, we're also still taking some monetary resources for the children's home. I think next Sunday will be the last day for that. The ladies have put together the trunk or treat. We'll have that on Saturday, October 30th. Probably more information coming for that later. We need a nursery teacher for Sunday morning. We started our classes back up this morning, so everybody come back and enjoy Bible class in the morning before worship. We have a number on our prayer list here. Steve and Sherry are out of town visiting their children and grandchildren, particularly their newest one, Tyler and Bethany's newborn that was announced last week was born. We want to remember Brother Scotty and my wife, Patty. They're both having back issues. They've been in pain. I pray for that. Pray for a friend's husband, or a friend of Kathy's former co-worker's husband, Jason Sanchez. Kevin and Donna's daughter, Shauna, had successful thyroid surgery, and they're still waiting on the biopsies. And Brother Tony's still on oxygen, I guess. But he's back to work. Hey, just a little bit of oxygen, he said. Okay, we're glad to see that. Is there anybody else we need to remember before we go to the Lord in prayer? Yes, ma'am.
My friend, that's what he was last week. He got to go home from the hospital, and he doesn't have oxygen or anything like that.
Okay, what was his name again? What's his name?
Russell.
Russell. Okay, anybody else? Seeing none, let's go to close our worship with prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning praising you and thanking you for all things, for we know that without you we have nothing. We look forward to the day that we get to come home to you in heaven. This morning we have some special requests. We pray that you watch Scotty and Patty, that their back pain will be alleviated and they will get back to full strength quickly. We ask that you be with Jason Sanchez, that his health problems will correct themselves. We ask for a good report on Shauna's biopsies, that things will go well with the report. And we ask that you be with Steve and Sherry as they're out of town, that they come home to us quickly and safely. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the love of our brethren here at Sunrise. And we ask that you be with us in our daily walk, that we will shine the light to others and have them come ask us why we have this hope, and let's be ready to share that with them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.